Good morning. This is WeatherTech Magazine's Andrew Lubin. Today we're talking with Lieutenant General Whistler, Commander, Marine Forces of Japan. General, thank you for the time with us today.
Yeah, it's great to be here today. It's a great day for combined training in Korea.
General, you're out there, you're overseeing exercise Sanyoung 14, or Twin Dragon 14 in English. What is this about? How is the Marine Corps involved?
Yeah, actually, I'm out here just observing, to be honest, although I was involved significantly in the preparation. Brigadier General Paul Kennedy, the commanding general, 3rd Marine Expeditionary Brigade, is actually in charge of this exercise, although he is accompanied by his counterpart, Rear Admiral Benny Weatherall from CTF 76. But what makes this unique, because it is a multilateral training opportunity, this training is between ROC Marines, U.S. Marines, but we also have a company of Australian Army that are part of this exercise as well. Sanyoung 2014 is a training opportunity where we, the United States Marines, are putting together two Marine expeditionary units, combining that with a ROC BLT, and as I said, the Australian Infantry Company, and creating a combined Marine Expeditionary Brigade. But not only are we do we have the two MEWs, we've taken one of the MEW commanders has taken command of all of the ground combat element. The other MEW commander, an aviator, has taken command of all of the aviation combat element. And the commanding officer of Combat Logistics Regiment 3, coming out of Okinawa, Japan, is the commander of the logistics combat element, operating from a TAKE, one of our USNS ships, to provide him a mobile platform to command and control all of the logistics operations in this amphibious exercise. So not only is it a chance for multilateral training, but we're also executing the aggregation of MEWs and ROC BLT into a combined Marine Expeditionary Brigade, creating each of those elements of the MAGTAF as opposed to keeping the individual MEWs and BLTs operating in their normal configuration.
General, when I was looking at the Republic of Korean Marines on Google the other day, they've got a big deck. They've got AAVs, LCACs. You're throwing terms like BLTs. This is probably joint amphibiosity to an extreme. How well do the Marines and our Marines and their Marines work together?
Well, our Marines have been working with ROC Marines throughout the duration of our alliance. The ROC U.S. Security Alliance is probably as strong as it has ever been. And since the beginning of that alliance in 1953, when the armistice was declared, we began working with our ROC Marine counterparts. Over the years, that's taken on various opportunities. I can remember my own history back in 1980 and 1981 as a young lieutenant in 31st Marine Amphibious Unit before it became a Marine Expeditionary Unit. We trained with our ROC counterparts here during exercises such as Team Spirit. Since my arrival in 3 Marine Expeditionary Force, we've executed training in exercises Ulchi Freedom Guardian. We just completed a exercise called Key Resolve, and then we moved into a command post exercise with our ROC counterparts. My counterpart in that exercise was the Commandant of the ROC Marine Corps, Lieutenant General Lee. He brought his staff, and we actually integrated the MEF staff, wherein we had ROC officers and senior ROC enlisted serving side by side with ROC Marines in the MEF staff, creating a combined Marine component command, and we have exercised very successfully together. So this is not something brand new. This is something that we've been doing for a long time. This opportunity is unique, as I said, because the opportunity was to take two Marine expeditionary units and create that combined Marine Expeditionary Brigade.
So we've got Marines landing off the Bonhomme Richard, I would assume. Are the Korean Marines landing off the dock, or are they coming in off of our ships?
No, the Korean Marines are coming off of the dock, though, and their LSTs that are part of their amphibious ready group, if you will. We've got Marines coming off of Bonhomme Richard. We've got Marines coming off of Boxer. We've got Marines coming off of the other LPDs and LSDs that are associated with those two amphibious ready groups and the Embark Marines, which make up those two separate MEUs, 13th MEU and 31st MEU. So we're each coming off of our platforms, although we have integrated to some degree, where we have elements of the ROC Marine Corps coming ashore with U.S. Marines, and likewise we have U.S. Marines coming ashore with ROC Marines.
General, are you fighting against or waiting against a specific scenario? You know, on the East Coast, the 24th, 26th, MEU uses Treasure Coast, or are you just doing a series of exercises up and down the coast?
No, we're just trying to exercise together to be honest, to see where the hard points are in taking Marine Expeditionary units and creating that combined Marine Expeditionary Brigade. If you read Expeditionary Force 21 inside that document recently released, you'll note that there's a section on Marine Expeditionary Brigades, and in there they talk about how we can create these different Marine Expeditionary Brigades from smaller units with MPS. And so what we've done is we've taken and operationalized, if you will, that concept of Expeditionary Force 21. Since earlier in the month, we began an exercise where we took our maritime pre-position shipping and we offloaded that. That's annually an exercise we call Freedom Banner. Some of that Freedom Banner equipment has been used in this MEP exercise, been provided to the 3rd Infantry Battalion, if you will, that comes from neither of these two MEUs that will be used in the exercise. One of the 4 Infantry Battalions in 3rd Marine Division and 3 MEP. So we started with the maritime pre-positioning offload, and then we moved on into our CPX, and then. As I said, we've aggregated these MEUs and associated MPF capability into a MEP, all in line with our doctrine. But what we're trying to find are those rough points and to create the concept of operations, if you will, and how we can most effectively build MEB, Marine Expeditionary Brigade combat power anywhere in the world through that combination of maritime pre-positioning, through our amphibious capability, and then through our forward deployed capabilities that are so critical here in the Pacific.
General, how do the Australians fit in, or where do the Australians fit in, to be accurate?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Where do the you've got 130 some Australian soldiers? Where do they fit in? Who are they going ashore with?
Yeah, in our operations here in Korea, and you may be aware, as part of the armistice, there are a number of what they call contributing nations. And Australia is one of those, an original signatory to the armistice. And so when we do these various exercises throughout the year, we train with them. And this was an opportunity for them, a nation, by the way, who is developing and in the process of trying to develop their own amphibious capability. So they saw this as an opportunity to work in a combined environment, a combined amphibious environment. Both our ROC partners and we thought that it was a valuable training opportunity, particularly for a country who's building a nascent amphibious capability, and so that's why we're training together.
Are they going ashore with the Marines or with the Koreans?
I'm not certain who they're coming ashore with, to be specific.
Marines, I believe.
I believe they're coming ashore with U.S. Marines, but I know that they'll be part of that combined force once they hit the ground, and that they'll be working both with us and with our ROC counterparts.
Now, the Australians you mentioned, they've actually changed their military to amphibious operations. I've read about that, how they're really feel. I guess the soldiers they have with you are—they're becoming their specialists, their Marines, so to speak, and they've changed. They got the 2 big decks coming up, joining their fleet next year. Do you see them as taking a more active part in these as they get more ships, and more trained soldiers ready?
I think that once they once they start to build their own amphibious capability, I know that initially they're looking to their amphibious capability across the full range of military operations. They were one of our valuable partners in the response to the typhoon in the Philippines in Operation Damayan. They were one of our multinational partners down there. And I know that they look to using their amphibious capability for things from humanitarian assistance and disaster relief to building partner capacity all throughout Southeast Asia. And ultimately, if they had to use it, I suspect that they would want to have a capability for high-end amphibious capability somewhere where their national interests may be challenged. But at this point, they're just simply building and learning and being part of amphibious operations with ourselves and with our ROC partners.
General, let's borrow the commandant's term, amphibiosity, for a second, which is a perfect term. In the scheme of HADR to forceful entry, what exercises are the Marines, the ROC, and the Australians going through tomorrow?
Well, our exercise tomorrow is a traditional high-end amphibious operation intended to be able to project combat power from a sea base, to sustain that combat power from a sea base, and to combine all elements of the Marine Air Ground Task Force in defeating an enemy. It's not tailored against any specific operational plan, any specific enemy. It is simply an opportunity to integrate combined arms as only U.S. Marines can do it, to do it with our ROC counterparts, and to exercise all elements of the Marine Air Ground Task Force, from our fixed-wing aviation, and in this case, exclusively from the U.S. side, STOVL aviation, a precursor to our ability to have the all-STOVL fleet when we get our joint strike fighter, the F-35B. And then we will also tie in that tremendous capability which we've used around not only the Pacific Theater, but in Iraq and in Afghanistan, our tilt rotor technology and the MV-22. And as well, we'll be using our most up-to-date attack helicopters in our AH-1 Zulus and our UH-1 Yankees to provide a full capability, as well as our full suite of combined arms. We'll be bringing HIMARS ashore. We've been training here on the peninsula with elements of the 14th Marines. This exercise is truly a fully integrated Marine Corps capability, total force, if you will, of both active and reserve component. We've got reserve Marines from 14th Marines with HIMARS, and we've got other reserve Marines serving alongside us here, as well as our active duty force. So this is just a tremendous opportunity for us to operate together and to exercise the full capability, if you will, of amphibiosity in a power projection mode and an ability to put combat power ashore rapidly at a point of our choosing to defeat an enemy and to do it from the sea base.
How do our friends in North Korea take to this? Have you had any responses or any objections from them, as often happens to these type of exercises?
I actually don't know how they're taking it. They haven't called me. It would be pure speculation for me to say how they're taking it. They're in the very end of a kind of a normal winter training cycle right now. If you heard General Scaparotti's testimony last week, they've executed a number of things that are normally associated with their winter training cycle. So as far as their specific reaction to this exercise, I really couldn't give you any insight.
General, you mentioned the Osprey a few minutes ago. The Osprey would be flying off the Bonhomme Richard, and I assume also off the Boxer. Will they be coming off the Dockdale at all? They seem or the Asian countries, other than the politicians, seem to love the Osprey.
Yeah, the Koreans right now do not look to be buying the Osprey, and we will not be the V-22s will not be coming off of the Dockdale tomorrow. Similarly, our Japanese partners have committed to buying 17 MV-22s as they build their amphibious capability. The Japan Self-Defense Force is committed to building an amphibious brigade capability in the next 5 years. Last week, in between exercises, I hosted General Iwata, the chief of staff of the Japan Ground Self-Defense Force. We gave him a familiarization with the MV-22 and then also gave him his first ride in an AAV. The Japanese will be purchasing, if their tests prove successful, they will be purchasing 52 AAVs to help create that amphibious capability in the Japan Self-Defense Force. So you did hit it on the head. Many countries in Asia very, very positively favorable to the MV-22, and I think primarily because they've seen its exceptional capabilities across the full range of operations, from HADR to obviously its ability to respond like no other aircraft in combat operations has been proven in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And I also see that the Japanese, of course, are licensed to build, and they're using LCACs of our, our engineering there and their manufacture. Are the Korean LCACs ours, the Japanese? Would you know?
You know, I do not know much about a Korean LCAC other than I saw a couple of them hit the beach yesterday, and they look just like ours, and they operate just the same, and they look like they have just about the same capacity as ours do. They're a tremendous capability, and certainly for the environment and the beaches that they have here in Korea, it's an ideal platform to bring those heavier combat capabilities ashore.
Great. General, the DIVID folks are giving us a thumbs up, which means we're running out of time. What have I missed? What do you want to tell us about the Marines and Operation Sanyoung 14?
Well, I want to highlight one thing. I may have touched on it before, but Operation Sanyoung 14 is getting obviously a lot of people's attention because it is a significantly different than Sanyoung has been in the past. It's different because we have this opportunity to train with multiple MUs, with our ROC partners, and with our Australians. But what shouldn't be lost is that this is the value of forward deployed naval forces in the Pacific theater, the ability to train and operate with our partners to do the kinds of training that they want to do. At the end of this fiscal year, Marines out of and sailors out of 3 Marine Expeditionary Force, and certainly with our Amphibious Ready Group and the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit, the ARG out of Fibron 11, there will be 21 of the 36 countries here in the Asia-Pacific region that we will do partnered training and operations and exercises with. And it's that ability to train, to operate, to be forward deployed, to be ready to respond that is making a difference here in the Pacific and is contributing greatly to the rebalance to the Pacific.
Great. General, thank you for your time. This is Leatherneck Magazine's Andrew Lubin. I've been talking with Lieutenant General John Whistler, Marine Forces of Japan. Thank you for the time.